This is Vicky Merrick. The local food report is up now. A little bit different this time. We've been thinking a lot about the reason why we make this show every week. Since we started in 2008, we've learned a lot about our local harvest, activism, traditions, and new ways. But why were we interested in covering local food in the first place? So we asked co-host Elspeth Hay and Allie Burlow to give us their motivations. We realize that's a lot to cover in one show, so in future episodes, we'll be talking about a wide range of reasons we think this subject is so important. But in this first episode, we're just going to talk about local food and economics. We'll start with Elspeth, and then you'll hear Allie.
In 1790, 90% of Americans lived and worked on farms. We shared a collective understanding of how food was produced and an appreciation for the work of farming. Today, fewer than 2% of Americans are farmers. Most of us have no idea who's feeding us or what has actually gone into the food we're eating.
And since the 1930s, the U.S. has lost nearly 4 million farms. That has a deep economic impact on rural communities. It's also worth pointing out that there are a handful of corporations like Nestle, General Mills, PepsiCo, Kraft, Coca-Cola, and Kellogg, who control much of the food we see at the grocery store. And that's a result of consolidation. For example, in 2007, just four corporations slaughtered 84% of the nation's beef, 66% of the pork, and 59% of the poultry. But we do have options. And one is to buy from independently run grocery stores and markets that work with local fishermen and farmers, or go right to these folks directly. Because when you buy from a local farmer or a fisherman through a community-supported agriculture or a fisheries program, a CSA or a CSF, or you shop at a farmer's market, this eliminates the many middlemen, so the producers, the farmers and the fishermen, they get full retail price, which is better than the wholesale price they'd get selling through a store.
I hear people say local food is too expensive. And the way our system is set up, for some families, that's true. Here's part of the reason why. The government spends about $20 billion a year on agricultural subsidies. In fact, since 1995, 75% of federal subsidies have gone to only 10% of all U.S. farms. 75% of federal dollars to 10% of farmers. This is because the farms that produce most of our food are huge, and so they get most of the money. But the way these big farms are subsidized ends up giving them an economic advantage and squeezing small and mid-sized farms out of business.
For me, the economic why of this extends to who and what I support with my money. Who's got eggs, meat, fish, chicken, and cheese, and I buy what I can from them first. I'm still a grocery store shopper, but one of the reasons I buy at farmers markets is because it's like the town center. It's social. I get to know the people who are growing the food that I want to be able to cook and feed my family. If we don't support them, then they're going to go out of business, and we're all going to be out of luck. Less local food to choose from, a loss of traditions, and even productive working lands and clean waters. It's all connected.
Walter Goldschmidt was one of the first people to study this economic interconnectedness. He worked for the USDA in California in the 1940s, and he studied two comparable rural towns, Arvin, where large, absentee-owned, non-family farms were more numerous, and Dinuba, where there were more locally owned family farms. He found that relative to small farm Dinuba, large farm Arvin had a smaller middle class, more hired workers, lower family incomes, and higher poverty. It also had lower quality of schools and public services, and fewer churches, civic organizations, and retail establishments. Arvin's residents didn't have as much control over public decisions, and they also had low civic participation. For the majority of citizens, by almost every economic measure, life in small farm Dinuba was better. In response, the USDA fired Goldschmidt. But today, his findings still hold true. A 2007 analysis of 51 similar studies found that 82% of the time, still most of the time, large industrialized farms have a negative economic impact on local communities.
And that's why I ask myself, what type of community and surroundings do I want to live in? How can I support all the things that I love about here, this place, so they'll be here in the future? And I end up answering those questions most often through my kitchen, because that's who I am. I want to do whatever I can do to support the people who grow, raise, catch, and produce good, fresh, healthy food that's delicious. Food that I have faith in. That might sound precious, but for me, it's important and basic. For WCAI's Local Food Report, I'm Allie Burlow.
And I'm Elspeth Hay.
In the next episode about the why of local food, Allie and Elspeth will be talking about eating seasonally. This local food report is edited by me, Vicky Merrick, with Jay Allison, and produced by Atlantic Public Media in Woods Hole. Thanks so much for listening.